address, Unit 4 starts with a chapter about the cell cycle. And we'll talk about the cell cycle in particular in a minute, but that refers to everything that happens within the lifetime of a single cell. But if the cell does not die or get killed, it ends by splitting into two new cells. And what we're looking at in this first slide is three major functions of cell division. Cell division is just part of the cell cycle. But there's three major reasons why cells divide. One of which, as you see, is reproduction. Now, that involves both unicellular and multicellular organisms. A unicellular organism reproduces the entire individual by cell division. So in a bacterium, for instance, representative unicellular organism, when it divides into two new cells, that's how it reproduces itself. Its children, so to speak, are the two new cells, are the two cells that it becomes when it splits. And notice that it no longer exists, which is different compared to a woman, for instance. She usually survives the process of reproduction. But even in multicellular organisms, like a human, cell division is involved, right? You all started out as a single cell called a zygote. And then before you were born, you became many, many cells because of cell division. Growth and development are lumped together here, even though they're distinct things, but they're related. Growth also can refer to both unicellular and multicellular organisms, because even a unicellular organism grows, right? When a cell first is created by one cell splitting into two, those two cells obviously right away are not going to be as big as the cell that just split into two. They're going to be roughly half as big. So even cells grow. But really, what, as far as cell division is concerned, growth here refers to multicellular organisms. We talked about the constraint put on cell size by surface area to volume ratio in a different chapter. And so organisms that are huge, like we are compared to most things, do not get huge by having a cell get huge, but by adding a bunch of little cells. And that involves creating new cells through the process of cell division. Development, by the way, refers to specialization of cells within a multicellular organism. So you are not simply 100 trillion copies of the zygote you started out as, all doing exactly the same thing. You have different kinds of cells now. You created new cells, and they specialized. You have neurons, muscle cells, and so on. Tissue renewal also refers only to, or it applies only to multicellular organisms, because, of course, only multicellular organisms have tissues. Remember, tissues in the hierarchy of biological organization is above the cell level. Tissues are collections of cells specialized for a purpose, like muscle tissue, for instance. Well, when tissues get damaged, when you injure yourself, you are destroying millions of cells in that area of the injury. And you heal, of course, especially at your age. You heal pretty quickly. That slows down as you age, but you still heal. And that's because the surviving cells in the area are spurred into cell division to create new cells to replace the ones that got killed by whatever injury took place. All right, let's go to two. This is a photomicrograph of a cell. It's been colorized. It's not really that color, but it's a real photograph. And I hope you realize by looking at this that you're looking at a eukaryotic cell, right? It has a clearly defined nucleus. So it's a eukaryotic cell. And just by looking at this picture, I can tell that not only is it a eukaryotic cell, but this is a eukaryotic cell near the end of its life, as far as this single cell is concerned. And that's because of what we see inside the nucleus. for most of the lifetime within an individual cell's lifetime, if you were to look at it under a microscope, you would see the nucleus, but you would see not really any detail within it. It would be just a consistent background, a grayness in the nucleus. But here we see some detail, not a hell of a lot of detail, but we can see these strands that are appearing. And this stuff, this purple stuff that looks like it's a knotted mess, is a collection of molecules that together are called chromatin. Chromatin is a mixture of DNA and proteins. And it's there for the entire lifetime of the cell. So if you were to look at this same cell earlier, you wouldn't see strands of chromatin, even though the material is there. The reason you're seeing it now is because chromatin condenses. It gets more tightly coiled together and becomes evident as this rope-like stuff when the cell is getting ready to divide. Now, it will get much more condensed, so much so that you'll eventually see it as individual pieces. It looks like it's all one long rope here, or possibly one long rope, but it's not. When the condensing of the chromatin proceeds, we'll eventually see a number of individual pieces, each of which we call chromosomes, which we'll talk more about later. But chromosomes are made out of chromatin. And we really don't use the word chromosome, even though the stuff is there, until it has condensed to the point that you can see individual pieces. But that's not until a cell is about ready to divide. And that's why I said that this cell is near the end of its own lifetime as a cell. Because when a cell reaches the end of its lifetime, it splits to create two new cells, but the original cell is no longer there at that point. The two new cells replace it. So this cell is preparing for cell division, in other words. All right, well, in three, we're seeing on the left side another photomicrograph, so this is a real picture too, but this is later. This is even closer to the time of cell division. What we're looking at here is one of however many chromosomes this cell has in this cartoon depiction. It looks like this species has only one. But any given species has some number of chromosomes. For instance, for humans, there's 23 different kinds, but the number just depends on the species. Corn has 40. There's species that have fewer than us. Just depends. Here, it's for simplicity's sake, they're pretending that this is some species that has one chromosome. But this is a real picture of a chromosome. Not only is it a chromosome, but more specifically, it's called a replicated chromosome. And that's because it's really enough material, enough chromatin in here to make two individual chromosomes, two full chromosomes. But those two identical halves, left half and the right half, are genetically identical. The DNA part of this, remember I said it's DNA and proteins. The DNA component, which is what's represented on the right edge, of the left half of this replicated chromosome is identical to the right half of the chromosome. But those two halves are stuck together still. The two halves haven't split apart. And that's why we call this one chromosome, but it's a replicated chromosome because it's carrying two identical copies of DNA, each of which, once the detachment occurs, is enough for a full unreplicated chromosome. Now, the attachment point, well, before I get to that, these two halves, which are genetically identical, individually are called chromatids. When they're still stuck together, they're called sister chromatids. And the reason they're genetically identical, by the way, is because at this point in the cell cycle, the cell has replicated its DNA. So think back to, it seems like a long time ago now, when we talked about the two overall functions of DNA, right? Which were replication and transcription. Well, here we're involving replication. When a cell is thinking, so to speak, about dividing into two new cells, if those cells are going to be viable cells, meaning having a chance of living, then each of those two cells needs DNA. Not only DNA, but each of them needs all of the DNA that the original cell has. Well, obviously that can't work unless before splitting, the original cell makes a copy of its DNA, so it has two complete copies, one of which it will give to each of the two daughter cells, as they're called. So that's DNA replication, and we'll look at the particulars of that eventually. That's already occurred, though, by the time we get to this picture. And that's why these two chromatids are identical, because DNA replication is a more or less perfect copying mechanism. So they're sister chromatids, and the point at which they are still joined is called the centromere, which occurs somewhere along the length. It depends on the chromosome. Here it's about 3/5 of the way down to the, or up the length. Okay, now, what I was saying in the previous slide, though, when we looked at that overall nucleus, is that a cell, during most of its lifetime, does not have chromosomes, as we would call them, because this chromatin material that this chromosome is made out of would not be coiled up tightly. It would be loose, and that's why you don't really see it. It's there, you just don't see it as a chromosome because it hasn't tightly wound up. That doesn't happen until the cell is about ready to divide. So this cell is getting ready to divide. And when it does, part of the overall cell division is to divide each of these replicated chromosomes. In other words, the two sister chromatids separate from each other. And each once they're separated, we no longer even call them chromatids. Each one of them is a chromosome in its own right, but it's an unreplicated chromosome. And each one of those will go to a separate cell as part of the cell division process. Okay, now that brings us to four, which is an overall view of the cell cycle. Now, this is a cell cycle for a eukaryotic cell. That's what we're studying here. Remember that only eukaryotic cells have a true nucleus. And the reason I say that is because when a eukaryotic cell undergoes cell division, there are two major parts to that cell division. Overall, the process is called cell division, but you need to divide the two major components of a eukaryotic cell. You have to divide the nucleus and its contents, and you also have to divide everything else, which is collectively the cytoplasm. All right? You don't have those separate compartments in a prokaryotic cell. So that's why this is a depiction of the cell cycle for a eukaryotic cell. And when you look at the outer band in teal, or mostly teal, you'll see that the overall cell cycle, which is one complete lifetime of a cell, from when it's created by its parent cell dividing to create it, to the point when it ends its life and splits into two new cells, that overall cell cycle occurs in two major phases. Interphase, which is the vast majority of the time of the cell cycle. The time varies, of course, according to what kind of cell it is. Skin cells are dividing all the time because they get, you know, rubbed off every day. Other kinds of cells take much longer. But interphase is the majority of the time of cell cycle. And then the other major phase is called the mitotic phase, or for short, the M phase. But I want you to be careful with that, because mitotic phase, that name, comes from mitosis. Mitotic is simply the adjective of mitosis. But, importantly, mitotic phase is not another name for mitosis. The mitotic phase includes mitosis, but not only mitosis. As you see here, the mitotic phase includes mitosis and cytokinesis. So those two things, mitosis and cytokinesis, are the two things I was referring to just a bit ago when I said a eukaryotic cell has to accomplish two things when it divides. It has to divide the nucleus and its contents. Well, that is what mitosis is, nuclear division. But it also has to divide all the stuff outside of the nucleus, the cytoplasm. And that part is called cytokinesis. So for a eukaryotic cell, mitosis is not another name for cell division. Cytokinesis is not another name for cell division. Cell division includes both, and they accomplish different things. They both have to occur for cell division to be complete. Okay? Anyway, that occurs during the mitotic phase. Well, those are the two major subdivisions of the cell cycle. But interphase, as you see, has three subdivisions of its own, which in order in which they happen are G1, S, and G2. The G's here stand for gap. So gap 1, later on gap 2. That's kind of a misnomer, because it implies that nothing's really happening, but really a lot of stuff is happening. It's just that you don't see much change under a light microscope. That's why it was called that. But G1, which is the first part of interphase, is really the normal lifetime of that cell. That's when it's busy doing whatever it does as being that kind of cell. Okay, so during G1, you have DNA, of course, in this cell, like in a typical cell. But that DNA is being used during G1 for just one of the two major jobs of DNA, which is transcription. Transcription is used for the purpose of producing RNA molecules using the information in the DNA. And then those RNA molecules can then go on to the process of translation, which is how the cell reads that information in the RNA and makes proteins. So that's what the DNA during G1 is being used for. It's a library for how to make proteins indirectly. And proteins are what cells need for just about anything they do. Proteins are involved in all major functions of cells. But which of those, what it actually is doing during G1 depends on the type of cell. What I mean is by saying that it's the main lifetime of the cell is that during G1, this cell is just being that kind of cell. It's not thinking about dividing yet. It's just living its life. Eventually, if at all, but usually, it'll happen that this cell will get to a point in the cell cycle